In 2015 and 2016, the neonatal unit at the Countess of Chester Hospital in England experienced a shocking surge in infant mortality rates.
As authorities worked to uncover the cause of the tragedy, nurse Lucy Letby came under suspicion. Arrested three times over a period of 2 years, Letby now stands trial, accused of 8 murders and 10 attempted murders of babies under her care.
With allegations ranging from injecting air into babies' veins to using insulin to end their lives, the case has captivated the nation and sparked a fierce debate over medical malpractice and the duty of care owed to vulnerable patients.
Hear the full story on our new podcast, Nurse of Death, available wherever you get podcasts.
Search and press subscribe so you don't miss any of the chilling details in this shocking story. Search Nurse of Death right now and press subscribe where you get podcasts.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We've been talking about this a little bit, but I think we're going to be talking a lot more about it here in the coming weeks. It's a case that has baffled many for quite some time, and it is high time that justice is actually served in this, because the examination of this woman's body was utterly ridiculous, completely incompetently done. To rule a suicide of someone that had been stabbed 20 times, including in the back of the head, a suicide, I don't even know what to make of that, other than, was this done by someone who was first day on the job of being medical examiner, or was there somebody saying, I'm going to say this because someone's influencing me to say this. Ellen Greenberg is who we're talking about, and her parents still fighting to change the cause of death from suicide to homicide, because it's obvious it was a homicide. Much like the Stephen Smith case, where it was not a hit and run and they finally changed it, the same should be done here, so resources can be allotted to investigating her murder. That's why there hasn't been much of an investigation, because it was listed as a suicide. We have the 911 call we're going to play for you today, and we're going to go through the story as well. My name is Tony Bruschi. Carol Hughes with us as well. This is all around another one of these cases where you just shake your head. How could so many things go wrong on so many levels?
You know, I feel really, really bad for her parents. This happened in 2011.
Yeah.
And they have been fighting for her for 12 years. And they're not going to stop.
And it's a very, when you look at it and you go, this is clearly not a suicide. No one could do this as a suicide. It's physically impossible for this to be a suicide. Yet, if they rule it that, then that's where it sits until you twist someone's arm or put enough pressure on them in the media to do something. It's kind of insane. So I want to be another brick laying on this going, do something, because this is nuts.
It is nuts.
Go ahead.
Let's just dive in.
Yeah,
there's a lot of questions.
Let's go into the story, and then we're going to go to the 911 call, and you too will see just how insane this story is. On January 26th of 2011, Ellen Greenberg was found dead on the kitchen floor, her kitchen floor. Ellen had 20 stab wounds, 10 on her neck and head, 8 on her chest, and 2 wounds to her brain. A kitchen knife was deep in her chest. Now, if she did in fact kill herself with a kitchen knife, 30 stab wounds into the brain, neck, and head, and chest, that would have to be some sort of a record of how one could keep going and be able to accomplish 30 stabs.
20 stab wounds.
Okay, 20 in total to oneself, and not have died after a few of them, or been unable to wield that knife.
The knife ends up in the middle of her chest in her heart area.
Unless she's a zombie. Unless we're talking it's The Walking Dead and there had to be that piece to the head to completely take her out, this is not a suicide. The assistant medical examiner at the time, Dr. Marlon Osborne, also stated that she had 11 bruises in various stages of resolution on her right arm, abdomen, and right leg. Gee, that's not suspicious. One day later, her death was ruled a homicide. The next day, authorities said they were leaning towards suicide. The reason they suspected suicide was that she had been on anxiety medications. Huh? That's your reasoning? Because she's on anxiety medication, so it must be a suicide, even though physically impossible for it to be? The investigator said there were no signs of an intruder. The only DNA on the knife was hers. The door had been locked from the inside, and her fiancé, Sam Goldberg, broke down the door to gain entry into the apartment. Several months later, Dr. Osborne officially reversed his initial findings and said her death was due to suicide. Ellen had recently started seeing a psychiatrist who felt Ellen was not suicidal. The psychiatrist said she was anxious about work and prescribed her Klonopin and Ambien, which were the only drugs found in her system. Both drugs list suicidal thoughts and behavior as possible side effects. The Greenberg family sued the Philadelphia County Medical Examiner's Office to force the authorities to reclassify the death as a murder or an undetermined cause. The study is expected to start sometime this year. You know how governments work. We'll get to it. On the day of her death, she was at work as an elementary school teacher. Due to a strong winter storm, the schools closed early, and she stopped on the way home to fill up her car with gas and then headed home, which she shared with Sam Goldberg. Goldberg headed to the gym at 4:45 p.m. About 30 minutes later, he returned, and he couldn't get inside because the swing lock activated on the inside. He also told authorities that he yelled for Greenberg but got no answer. Goldberg sent his fiancé's phone a series of frantic texts over the span of more than 20 minutes. He reportedly went to the apartment security, asked if they had a tool he could use to get in. When they said no, he returned to the apartment with a guard and broke the door down. He found his fiancée slumped over in the kitchen with some of her upper body shoulders resting against the lower half of the white kitchen cabinets. Investigators found that Sam Goldberg's account of the events and the surveillance footage were consistent. The Regional Computer Forensics Laboratory then received Ellen's computer. The FBI later analyzed the computer. The family attorney, Joseph Padraza, uncovered through technology experts that there was no evidence that Ellen made specific queries about suicide. He said no evidence on the hard drive of variable suicide or death-related searches demonstrating obsession about either topic. Our experts state that the searches identified by OAG were not direct searches, but instead phantom searches, which appeared because of analytics. Authorities again confirmed that Ellen's cause of death was suicide as a result of searches made on her computer. On Ellen's hard drive, search terms like quick suicide and painless suicide were reportedly found. In an effort to have Ellen's cause of death changed from suicide to undetermined or homicide, the Greenberg lawyer Joseph Padraza Jr. filed a civil lawsuit on their behalf in October 2019 against the Philadelphia Medical Examiner's Office and the pathologist to perform the autopsy. The judge made a decision allowing the lawsuit to proceed in January 2020. The coronavirus pandemic put the court proceedings on pause, but they resumed in 2021.
And still, they haven't had their literal day in court.
It still has not happened. There is no physical way for this to be a suicide when you see where the knife stab wounds were. This is almost like, I feel like the medical examiner's office, the way that they did this is almost like how a dad who's really busy watching a game or doing something and their kids are coming up to them going, "Dad, can I do this? Can I?" Dad, I think it's a suicide. Okay, just write it down as suicide. I'm watching the game. Do that for me. That seems to be about as much like thought that they put into this.
And the other thing that they cite as evidence was that apparently on her computer, they say that she had searched for painless suicide. This would be the very opposite of that. If she truly was someone who wanted to do that and she searched for painless, but this is how she died, This would be horrific.
Well, no one would kill themselves this way. And again, it's physically impossible to kill yourself this way. So
in some of those knife wounds, there's a graphic that I sent you that she's somehow right in the middle, like her lower skull by her spine. Somehow she was able to stab herself there twice. And the knife goes in deep.
Yeah.
And I think they say the knife went in to her heart several inches. You know, so these weren't just superficial stab wounds.
No.
These, I don't even know how you one could do that to. I don't.
You couldn't. That's the answer. You can't. Possible. You can't. That is the simple answer. There's no debating this. There's not even, there's no reason to even go through that because you can't. It's not possible.
And here's what I don't get, though, is the other thing that they're saying is that there was no cause to forced entry. But I couldn't totally figure out if the fiance went and got security and brought them back, and the security person was there at, and witnessed, yes, the swing lock from the inside has been, I don't know what the word is.
Activated, used, locked.
Yeah. Locked from the inside. And so he had to kick the door down, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And did the security guy watch him do that? Did he definitely see that it was broken? And it also seems weird to me that she gets off work. It's a snow day, leaves early, filled up her car with gas. That's not someone who's, you know, you don't do that if today's your last day.
Yeah, you're not like, just in case.
She goes home. He leaves for the gym like at 4:45. I think she was found around 6 o'clock. So in the short window of time, he says, I'm going to the gym. And in her mind, she would be like, here's my opportunity. Why? That makes no sense. Makes no sense. She got off work early and now is like, okay, since he's not here, I'm going to go ahead and do this.
If one's going to kill themselves, they're not going to do it with a butter knife or they're not going to stab themselves 20 times.
And if you have Ambien or you have access to other medications, I would assume there's a point in those medications where you could take too much.
Easily.
There just seems to be a million ways. If one wanted to do that, you could do that.
Here's...
makes no sense to me.
Here's the 911 call. It's about 4 minutes in length. It's a little hard to hear at the begining, but take a listen.
Oh, I just walked to my apartment. My fiance's on the floor with blood everywhere.
What is the address?
4601 Flat Rock Road. Please come help
4601
now.
4601
Flat Rock Road.
Is this a house or apartment?
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's an apartment.
What apartment number?
Please hurry, please.
Where is she bleeding from?
See, I don't know. I can't tell. She's...
No. So you have to calm yourself down in order to get you some help.
I'm sorry. She, okay. I don't know. I'm looking at her right now.
That was pretty good, the flipping of the switch. You need to call him. Okay.
Yeah, right then.
Right then.
And then he goes, okay.
I'm calm. I'm okay. It was like Alec Murdoch on the stand where it's like, oh my God. I can't believe it. Alec, what did you think of Chick-fil-A the other day? Oh, it was delicious. I love Chick-fil-A. It's great. Continuing.
Well, even his, oh my God. Oh my God.
That didn't sound very sincere.
That actually was a pretty good.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm going to fumble through these words or make it feel like I'm fumbling through words at first, but even I don't know how to do it and make it sound real. Calm down. Okay. Continuing on.
I can't see anything. There's nothing broken. She's bleeding. Ellie.
You don't know where she's bleeding from. Can't tell where the blood's coming from.
It's, I think her head. I think she hit her head, I think. But it's up everywhere.
Okay,
it's everywhere.
She might have fallen. Do you know what happened?
She may have slipped. There's blood on the table. Her face is a little purple.
Okay, hold on for rescue for her. Stay on the phone.
Apartment 842. What's the address?
No.
4601 Flat Rock Road. Please hurry.
I think it is a little shitty that he has to give the address twice. Yeah. I mean, we're talking a 911. Okay, hang on. Now that I got you calmed down, now I want to. You already gave me the address, but now we have to have you confirm it to rescue. That just
seems like you're starting over with your 911 call.
It's a very inefficient 911 system if that's how that's working. Continuing on.
4601 Flat Rock.
Yes.
What's wrong?
I went downstairs to go work out. I came back up. The door was latched. My fiance's inside. She wasn't answering. So after about a half hour, I decided to break it down. I see her now just on the floor with blood. She's not responding.
It's interesting that he goes to alibi and not just to my fiance's on the floor, not breathing. Like that would be, I think, the first thing you say, not necessarily Here's the timeline of everything that just happened.
And here's the other thing I find weird. He said that her face was turning kind of purple.
Yeah.
Doesn't notice the knife in her chest.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everyone reacts to trauma and grief differently, but yeah. Continuing on.
Okay. Is she breathing? Look at her chest. I need you to calm down and I need you to look at her chest. It's really.
I really don't think she is.
Listen to me. Someone's on the way. Look at her chest. Is she flat on her back?
She's on her back. So I bring her.
Look at her chest and tell me if it's going up and down, up and down.
I don't see her moving.
Okay, do you know how to do CPR?
I don't.
Okay, I can tell you what to do, okay, until they get there. I want you to keep her
foot. Oh, God.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, okay.
Are you willing to do CPR with me over the phone until they get there?
I have to, right?
Okay, to get her flat on her back.
I have to, right? Dude, I mean, bro, I don't know. I mean, like, I guess I should. Yeah, if it your fiance or you, what is this? The girlfriend is dead or looking dead. You have to, right? Yes, you have to, because that's what human beings do to help one another.
Be like, what do I have to do? Tell me right now.
Exactly. I have to, right? That's a weird response.
Bare her chest, okay? You want to rip her shirt off. Okay. Kneel down by her side.
Oh, my God. Allie, please.
Listen, you can't freak out, sir.
I'm trying not to. Her shirt won't come off. It's a zipper.
Rip it off.
She stabbed herself.
Where?
She fell on a knife. Oh, no. Her knife's sticking out.
Her what?
There's a knife sticking out.
She fell on a knife. That's an interesting... fell on a knife 20 times.
Even then, he goes, oh... She, like, even the way, like, I think, I don't know how you wouldn't scream, you know, you just found a knife in her chest and he's like, oh no.
How did you not see the knife prior? I guess is, I don't know. Continuing.
There's a kitchen knife, even if it was like a steak knife, that's got a pretty decent handle on it. It seems like there would be a lot of blood in that area and you would notice that.
Sam Goldberg should likely be a prime suspect here. And if not, he's the most guilty sounding person in the world for not committing a crime because it's just, this sounds like horrible acting almost. Like, okay, pretend that you're doing a scene here and you are not the murderer, but you need to act surprised.
Seriously, he wouldn't get the part.
No.
Because they would be like, this is not good. This isn't believable. We need you to be believable, and you're not. Because he doesn't sound believable.
At all. Continuing on.
Because it had to have been extremely bloody.
Yeah, continuing on.
Out of her heart.
Oh, she stabbed herself?
I guess so. I don't know where she fell on it. I don't know.
Okay, well, don't touch it.
Okay, so I just let her down here now. I mean, what do I do?
No, I mean, you can't. If the knife is at her chest, it's going to be kind of hard for you to do CPR at this time.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Police, which operator?
277.
Is someone coming here?
Yes, they are. You said 4601 Flat Rock, right?
Yes.
Okay, someone's on the way. And the knife is still inside?
Which or what?
The knife is still inside of her?
Yes, I didn't take it out.
Was it her chest or what area?
It's in her chest. It looks like it's right in her heart.
Okay, someone's on the way out there. Okay, just get.
Oh my god!
How old is she?
She's 27.
27, and there's no sign of life at all.
No, please don't be. What?
Bend her under her arm and tell me if she responds to pain.
She's. Ellie, she's not, her arm, her hands are still warm. I don't know if that means, but there's blood everywhere. I mean.
I know, but you can't, and the knife is still inside of her. How far? Can you see how far it went in?
It looks pretty deep.
Okay.
It looks three, and it's a long knife.
Don't touch anything.
Yeah, don't touch anything, okay?
I'm not touching anything. I can't believe this, though.
No, wait, it was just you there with her?
We're the only ones here.
And she ran in the door, you said, latched it shut?
No, I went downstairs to work out, and when I came back up, the door was latched.
Oh.
Like, it was locked from the inside, and I'm yelling, and I was yelling.
Was the house broken into?
No.
So there's no sign of a break-in?
No sign of a break-in at all. I mean, there will be when you get here, because I had to break the latch, but... to get in.
Okay, 4601 Flat Rock, and this is a house, right?
It's an apartment. Flat Rock apartment.
Okay, that'll help.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you.
He doesn't even sound upset.
No.
You know, he's like, okay.
Well, and here's what I questioned too. They said only her DNA was found at the scene. His DNA's all over the fucking place at this point. He's on top of her. He's handling the knife that's in her chest. He's over her pushing. So his DNA is now all over the scene. So if they're to examine this as a homicide, yeah, his DNA is going to be there. But how you can't really then dispute or separate if the DNA got there prior, if he killed her, or if the DNA got there when he was trying to, quote unquote, save her. So that's, I mean, it's almost like if he did it, he found a perfect way to do this. Make it look, number one, like it couldn't have been him because the door was locked from the inside. I'd love to see what type of lock that is, because there are ways of rigging that from the inside to make it from the outside to make it look like the door is locked and there's no one that could have gotten in. You can do that. If it's like a chain lock or something, you got a thing, you reach your hand around, you can make it appear that way.
The thing too, because, you know, they have video camera.
Yeah.
Hallway. You could be, look, it could look like you're opening the door just far enough.
Yeah.
That it's getting caught and like trying to, you could fake that. Really,
you could fake it. It will look like, and there's no. Fake
with a security guard there.
Yeah. I mean, he seems to know his alibi pretty well, pretty quick. And there's no, it's like, no. This is how it happened.
Said it twice.
Yeah.
I was at the gym.
In the going downstairs though at the gym. It's an apartment. So he wasn't like going far. He was in the same GPS coordinates.
The fact that he went to the gym and that happened while he was gone is really weird. And no DNA other than hers on a knife. Well, that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
I watch enough crime shows. You could wear gloves. You could put her hands on that knife and get the DNA on there. That would be easy to do.
This is incredibly troubling to hear that phone call. And obviously, you know, it's all allegations, innocent until proven guilty. I don't think, has he even been charged with anything?
No, he's remarried, or he's went on to get married and has a couple kids, and he was never charged with anything.
Well, I would say if you're the new wife of him, I would be a little curious as to where this is going to go and where your future holds. I don't know.
Because too, you know, the officials, they ruled it officially a couple months later. Yes, definitely suicide. So I don't think he was ever properly investigated.
No.
As a suspect.
I'd like to know why as well.
He went from homicide to suicide real quick and then officially. Okay. Yeah, sure.
I'd like suicide. To know of any relations with this individual to the coroner's office, to the medical examiner's office, to the police. Is there some connection there where a favor was done? Because, and I'd love to see the other autopsies that this medical examiner has done and how accurate they were. Because if one's doing something that inaccurately, one has to assume it's not happening in a vacuum. They're just an incompetent medical examiner and they're doing horrible things. Or there's some sort of connection. One of the two, I don't know. It would have to be likely either or. This is a dark one. And I think it's being as old as it is from 2011, this will be an interesting one to see it be unearthed. No pun intended, but to try and get some more answers in this chilling case.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
You want to weigh in on this, you can do so. We have a phone number for that. It's 888-5-KILLER, 888-554-5537. We'd love to hear your insight. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates or discussions on the cases that we're following for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.